when you get, when the body, repair the body. When you repair, again you do sin. Again, by doing sin, you get suffering, go to the doctor. It's like an endless loop. It's like a do loop. Huh? Again and again, you keep going in that. So, this manav seva can never be manav seva. And manav seva cannot be manav seva also. Huh? Manav seva is not even seva to them, you are doing disservice to them. Like one time, a doctor had told a mother, see, your son has got typhoid. Now it is only third day. 21 days he will be having typhoid. So don't give him any oil items. But the small boy was very fond of puris. So telling the mother, he was trying to give me puris. Mother said, my dear child, you have to forget puris for another 18 days. Only when typhoid is over, I'll suddenly make a nice puri and give you. But now you forget it. And the mother went to a shop in the market to buy some sabji and all. Then the sister came home from the school. She saw her younger brother crying. Hey, why are you crying? She said, I want puri, you know, mother is not giving. Then the sister said, don't worry, I'll immediately make puri for you and give you. Then she made nice puffed up puris and gave the child. Child was very happily eating. Mama came, child said, now see, without you I'm eating puris, very happily. Child was eating puri. Mother saw that. She felt so angry. She gave a big slap to the elder sister. You crazy girl. Am I a fool? Can I not make puri and give my son? You have to make and give. You have done such a great service. The boy, after eating puri, he almost fell fainted on the ground. He had to be immediately rushed to the hospital, immediately. Because he had done a wrong thing. Similarly, Prabhupada says, if you want to show compassion, don't show wrong compassion. If you want to show compassion in the right way. Like this girl was giving puri to this boy and made him more disease. Similarly, people are saying that we are doing service to Manavata, we are opening hospitals and curing the sinful people. They go and have illicit sex and come, you cure them and send them back. Then they will have illicit sex with another virgin girl who is born in a good family, and they will be ruining that girl also. They will do more sin in society, which will be displeasing to Madhav. The Lord sees that sinful people are cured and they are allowed to commit more sins, then it will only break the heart of the Lord. Similarly, you feed food to the poor people, as somebody said, they will only become more lazy if you feed them. The more you simply feed them food, there are many people, I heard that there are beggars in India who go in cars and beg. They go in cars, they park in one place, and they go house to house to beg. It becomes a profession for them. So now they know that, you know, now they have earned so much money, they have bought a car, you can imagine, buying a Maruti car. They will do that. I'm not just exaggerating. There are people like that. They become professional beggars like that. So, it will encourage lethargy amongst people on one hand, and it will encourage sinful activity. People will just earn money and engage in all sinful activities like that. So, it is like the sister serving puri to her younger brother, which was actually a disservice to him. So, people do not know, by doing abhishek for the Lord, how are the masses getting benefit? This is a very subtle thing. How people get benefit. As I told you, when we do abhishek for the Lord or when we build a big temple for the Lord and render service to the Lord, we are chanting and dancing and doing kirtan, that yajna has spread spiritual vibration all around. Waves of spiritual vibration go all around and it transforms the hearts of people. Even people who are like a tiger or like a lion, who have been always indulging in sinful habits, they become transformed and become great devotees of God. I'm not just saying some phantasmagoria. Prabhupada did it and showed it. Americans are the people who are leading the whole world. Like if you see, they are the biggest of the business magnates are in America. If you see. Now in a country like America, going to the headquarters of Maya, New York, Prabhupada changed so many people. So many scientists from MIT and Cornell and Harvard and Cambridge came and joined Prabhupada. Some of them joined full time. Some of them came with their families and served. How the hard-hearted people of America and all the sinful people of America could be transformed like this? But Harinam Prabhupada changed them by chanting Harinam and preaching philosophy. Now just imagine if America being the leading country in the whole world, if they take Krishna consciousness, the whole world is accepting it. And Prabhupada showed it how it is possible. So Prabhupada worshipped Krishna for his pleasure, Krishna's pleasure. The whole world is changing. And you are seeing how, like, you know, people like students of IIT cannot be transformed very easily, because they are independent thinkers. Nobody can. See, there are so many organizations in India, but nobody can come and preach to students of IIT. Nobody can come and make IIT student wear dhoti, kurta and chant and dance. Can they do that? Not very easy. But Prabhupada not only showed IITians can do that, he even showed MITians can do that. Massachusetts and Cornell. So if one is sincerely worshipping God, chanting his names, he can very soon bring about a great transformation. But one should have firm faith in this. If somebody says, no, I don't even see the root, no, why do you tell me to water the root of the tree, you know? What is the use of watering the root? So one has to have faith in the Shastra. Yata taror mula nisheshanena. Put the water in the root of the tree. Tripyanti tatkanda buja upashaka. Skanda means branch. Tatkanda buja upashaka. Branches and twigs and leaves and everything will get benefit if you water the root of the tree. Similarly, it is in Panchatantra there is a story. All the senses of this body went on a strike. Like the hand and the eyes and the nose and the teeth. Teeth were telling, why should I crush the food? Hand was telling, why should I take the food? Legs said, why should I walk and take you to the place of food? So all of them said, let us not work because the stomach is just sitting and enjoying. Let us not serve the stomach. So they went on a strike. But who was the sufferer? The senses are suffering. Slowly the legs started getting weaker and weaker. You know, he could not even stand. The hands started getting weaker. He could not grasp any object. And all the parts of the body became very, very weak. And they all understood. You see, if you serve him, we benefit. This is the beauty. See, we are all like reflections of Krishna, tiny reflections. So a reflection may be inside a mirror, but can you decorate that reflection? Is it possible? See, if you want to decorate, like I said, we are all like reflections of Krishna. So if you want to decorate the reflection, what should you do? Decorate the object, then you can decorate the reflection. Similarly, if we want to be nourished, then you have to decorate the original object, Krishna. So if you put a bindi in the original object, then the reflection bindi will come. If you put a nice gold ornament in the object, then the reflection also that ornament will come. Similarly, it is said those devotees who are decorating Krishna, they become beautiful. Similarly, those devotees who satisfy Krishna, they become satisfied. So it is very important to understand this formula. It's a great mystery. If you become selfless and serve the Lord, then you will become satisfied. See, even ordinary selflessness, like you help a blind man to cross the street, or you give poor man little food, even that little selflessness gives us satisfaction. What to serve Krishna selflessly, that will give us the greatest satisfaction. Not only to us, it can bring satisfaction to everyone in this world. First we learn to become little selfless, and then learn to become selfless by serving Krishna. Because you know how selflessness circle expands, you know. First you are selfish for yourself. Then you think, no, not only me, myself and my wife, that's all. Hell with my parents. Myself and my wife, we will enjoy. I'll serve my wife also, you think. That is also not a very great selflessness. Or sometimes you think, my parents are also good people, I should serve them. Then your family, then your neighbors, then your caste people, then your own state people. Oh, you belong to Bengal, I love you very much. You belong to Maharashtra, I hate you. Like that. And then it spreads, okay, no problem. India, Bharat Mata ki jai. What is it? Mera Bharat Mahan. So you love people of India. What about you? You are Pakistani? I'll shoot you. Because you are a Muslim, I am a Hindu, I'll shoot you. So we create enmity with other country people. But after some time, you go to humanitarian grounds. I like all men. I want to serve all men. But what about cows and what about goats? Oh, that I'll cut their throat and eat. But after some lifetimes, one becomes even more broad-minded. You feel that, no. Even cows and calves, you know, we are eating, we are sleeping, we are mating and producing children, they are also doing, we are depending, what's the difference? Animals are also living things, and they also have emotions, so I should not kill them. Then you also avoid killing them. In this way, your selflessness circle expands more and more. But then, not only you see that animals should be treated well, you begin to understand that the soul is present in every body. And who is the master of that soul? That is Krishna. Then one can understand the universal brotherhood. Prabhupada once challenged, somebody was asking Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he was asking one staff reporter. Swamiji, we want to create a universal brotherhood in the whole world. But you see, we don't want God in the picture, you know. Why do you always talk about Krishna, God and all? You tell us some method by which we can bring about, you know, unity amongst all human beings so that there won't be any crime in America. Kappa said, this is rascal dumb. How can you have universal brotherhood without fatherhood? Can there be brothers without a father? Isn't he saying all brothers will be united, but we don't have any father? It's not possible. Similarly, Prabhupada used to also say, you know, nature, you know, we say, when Prabhupada would ask about how everything is coming, people say, everything comes from nature. You know, nature is giving, sun is present in the nature, and sun is making everything grow, and nature is giving fruits, nature is giving grains. So these are called as naturalists. Naturalists argue that nature is ultimate, there is nothing beyond. There is no God. Prabhupada would say, nature is mother. You accept nature is mother? So mother only begets the child. So nature is only producing everything. Yes, mother nature, everyone has accepted immediately. So how can a mother produce without a father? Father has impregnated the mother, only the mother can produce. Similarly, Lord Vishnu is, Vishnu's eyes are called as Shambhu. That Sankarsana Vishnu, Vishnu is lying. His eyes are called as Shambhu. So from his eyes come the glands with which he picks up the rebellious souls in the spiritual world and impregnates them into the womb of Durga. So we are now in the womb of Durga. Actually, this middle world is called as Durga. Durgama or Durga means very difficult to cross over. So it is Lord Vishnu who impregnates all the souls into this world. Now we all are in the womb of nature because this is material energy into which we are present now as the Atmana. So Prabhupada says this is nature, but how this nature is producing so many things? Because there is a Supreme Father. So whether you accept brotherhood or you accept motherhood, in either case fatherhood has to be accepted. Without father you cannot have these things like that. So this has to be understood. So when people are rendering service to the society, independent of God, as I told you yesterday, you go to any social welfare organization, they hardly talk about God. Although many of our gentle devotees are telling that we would like to preach about God also along with social service. But 99% of the social welfare organizations, they don't talk about God. They use God as a tool to collect funds. Like they say, see, children of God are suffering, you know. And they get the money and they say, hell with God. You take food, I am giving you, I am the Annadata. That is the formula. They use God to derive mass sympathy from the people. People say, see, they are saying children of God are suffering. So because they are saying God, you have to give money. You give money and then they will say, we cry organization. We are serving the crying children. They will say, and they will never talk about God. They don't talk one line about God. Many, many organizations are like that. See, this is the greatest irony. Scientists also do that. They, like Darwin first said, you know, originally, the creator must have breathed out one or two living forms, he said. After which, the living forms were multiplied by some mechanism, like he was telling some mechanism. But then the later scientists who came, they started a theory called as neo-Darwinism, where they eliminated the creator by shelving him aside. Kept the creator aside. They said, they came up with a new method called a spontaneous generation technique, where they said everything came from nothing. Just, you know, there was some vast oceans in the beginning, there was some pile of sand, it was a normal sand, it was a normal ocean, and then there was a lightning, thunderbolt in the sky, and thunderbolt hit the water, and immediately something started moving in the water. Of course, when the thunder started, lightning started coming in the sky, at that time nothing was moving because there was nothing living, because it was normal grain, normal sand, nothing was moving. But then when lightning struck the water, it started moving, and then the first living form came, unicell, and then multicell. Organisms started coming from one cell, multiplied to several cells. Looks very scientific. But then if you look at the process, the multicell organisms are coming below unicell organisms, if you see. Unicell is coming later in the strata, but multicell is down below. So multicell came first, unicell came later. So scientists don't have any explanation for that. And besides that, even the unicell organisms, they are so complex, infinitely complex. But according to scientists, the unicell organisms are supposed to be very simple in the beginning and gradually the complex situation has come. Whereas the unicell itself is very complex. Like amoeba, unicell organism, there is no brain. Amoeba has no brain but is able to function, is able to do activity. According to scientists today, they have given so many theories. One of the theories is that human being is no better than a high level computer. He is a So, that was the question, am I brain? without brain, they say that cannot be life, because brain only makes all the functions possible. But you can challenge them. What about amoeba? Amoeba has no brain, but it is surviving. How? How the nerves are functioning for amoeba? How the body of amoeba is able to function? Unicellular organism, how is it able to function? Amoeba is a living thing, isn't it? The scientists accept that amoeba is life. How can life be there without the brain? That means life exists independent of brain. So we can challenge very easily this bogus concepts which are going on in the name of science. So when people talk of serving manavata, they are not serving manavata at all. They are doing a great disservice to people. So as long as you eliminate God from the picture, you immediately understand you are doing the greatest disservice to society. Greatest disservice. I have seen in my early school days, we used to go to temple, they used to abhishek like this. You would see that abhishek. Thousands of people would come to see the abhishek. And they develop a great faith in God. See, what is the advantage in developing faith in God? If one great saintly person who has achieved a very exalted state, if he says one thing, then the whole throne will accept it. Nobody will challenge him. Like Narada Muni, you know Kayadu? Manasino Kayadu? Kayadu is the mother of Prahlad. So when Prahlad was in the womb of Kayadu, his mother, then the demigods came, headed by Indra. They said, catch this Kayadu, come on, let us take her to heaven. And as soon as the child is born, we will immediately kill him. Why? Why should they kill the child? He is going to be the son of Hiranyakashipu, and he will be, it is said that is saying, you know, his father is jumping 8 feet, child will jump 16 feet. So he will be a greater demon than his father. Better we will kill him as soon as he is born. So they were taking Kayadu with them on the way Narada Muni came. And he told them, don't you know that in the womb of this Kayadu, the child who is present is Prahlad, and he is a great Mahabhagavata devotee. You should not harm the child. And as soon as the demigods heard it, immediately they accepted the verdict of Narada Muni. They circumambulated Kayadu, because they know Mahabhagavata is sitting in the womb of Kayadu. Circumambulated 3 times, offered obeisances, and they went away. So this goes to show that in the Vedic life, as soon as instruction is given, people immediately follow it. That's why it's called a Veda walk like that. Whereas among scientists, they give you comforts and facilities. For example, I was telling you in Gujarat, they were helping farmers increase the supply of milk from the cows, right? Cows are giving more milk by giving an injection. And then they found out it contains poison now. Now the scientists are crying, hey, stop it, don't, please don't use that injection. But farmers, will they hear them? Nobody will hear them. This is the difference between science and Vedas. This is the additional point for your evening program today. So, scientists have no control over the people. They cannot control them. They can give them only bad things. Like, they are giving them something which they thought of to be good at the beginning. But it is called as the demons always realize the things later. That's why they are called as manda, manda buddhi. They always realize things later. Like they give a facility which they thought is a good facility. But then later on it turned out to be disaster. But then now they cannot stop disaster. Like they created a lethal weapon, bombs, and they dropped it in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Even now there are people suffering from radioactive problems. But now they can't stop a bomb, isn't it? They are not self-controlled sages, that they won't drop bombs. They suddenly drop bombs and create problems. So, but in the Vedic life, you see, the sages can give a facility and then take it back if they want. So they had absolute control. That's the way the Vedas are taught. So when people go to temple, and I was going to temple, I was seeing the deities, we develop so much faith, that faith is like a rock. It gives such a rock-like foundation in your heart, that such a principled person will never fail in his principles. Because he has been put such a foundation, he will follow the principles very carefully. That is why performing Abhishek, having a big temple, thousands of people coming, circumambulating the Lord, conducting Ratayatras, conducting boat festival, conducting Pushpabhishek, showering flowers in the Lord, all these things are meant ultimately to help people develop complete faith in God and follow the scriptural injunctions thoroughly. You see, in India, if a man sees a woman with a kumkum here, he cannot have the guts to touch her hand. He cannot touch her. As soon as he sees the kumkum here, bindi here, he knows that this is a married woman. at once you feel respect, correct? No matter how beautiful she is, as soon as you see somebody wearing kumkum, you have fear. This is how the religion is conducted, if you see. So, worshipping God like that is a great form, is a great necessity for the inner growth of a human being. By such inner growth, people will not hold on to money. They will release all the money and they will be just satisfied with meager amount. I have seen big jamindars living a very simple life. Like my grandfather, he had 50 cows and he had 100 cows and 50 bullock carts. He had. And they had a huge farm, lots of mangoes, big mangoes and big coconut trees. Practically they had 30-40 acres like that. But if you see the way he dresses, he has a very simple dress on his body. Morning till 12 o'clock he'll be doing puja. Sitting in the puja room, wake up early morning, go to the riverside, and he would teach me some mantras, Rig Veda and all. And then he would come back, and then again he would be performing pujas. Lakshasana he would do, offering one petal and chanting mantra. Under him there were hundreds of people working. So imagine just one person devoted, he was influencing the lives of so many people. And all the servants, they would also come and offer obeisances in front of God. And the sabha would be distributed to them. So, we can see that rich people, by becoming God conscious, they are not attached to the money and position. They are ready to release the money for the service of the people automatically. But if you are doing, if you are saying that we are only doing manav seva, we are doing manav seva, still why are people so greedy for money? Rich people want to become more rich. You have seen that? Somebody having a Maruti is not satisfied. He wants to have Mercedes. One who has got a Mercedes, he wants helicopter. One has a helicopter, he wants his own plane. Like for example, Bill Gates. Why not Bill Gates release all his money? He's got the maximum money in the world. He cannot. Because unless one becomes God conscious, one cannot release the funds he has. Rich people want to become more richer in life. They will never be able to release the money they have. Although they give some little bit of charity nowadays, that is only to make a show. Don't think I am a very greedy man. I am also doing something. One rich man used to come to our temple, and for Janmashtami he used to come and give some 500 rupees. But actually his yearly income is 5 crore. What is 5 crore and 500 rupees giving to God? There are people like that. So unless one becomes a proper devotee of God, see, if he becomes a devotee of God, yearly he is earning 5 crore, he will give 2 crores for service. Because he knows what will I do with money. Because it is said, in youth, you spend health for wealth. Because you work very hard and earn a lot of money. But in old age, you spend the opposite. You spend wealth for health. But at death, neither health nor wealth can be restored. Both will be lost at death. Like that. So people will understand this fact. Nobody will want to hold on to money. Because either money leaves you or you leave money. Either of the two will happen. That's why one devotee used to tell us, don't become a watchman of your money. He was telling. What is watchman of money? Watchman of money means you store a lot of money in the bank and you keep watching it every now and then, like a watchman is wearing a uniform with a stick. And then one fine morning you are kicked out. You cannot enjoy that money. At the time of death, the money remains and you go away. That's why you are watching the money. That's why you are a watchman for the money. Like that. Say like that. So rich people will not become watchmen of their money, rather they will spend it in God's service. So God's service means people's service. Why? You go to any, there is no temple which has no prasadam. Is there any temple without God's prasad? Everyone gets prasad. Thousands of people get prasad. If you go to Gurudwara and all, they make bandara. Thousands and thousands of people are fed there, you see. And then because of a temple also, so many thousands of people get employed, people get services also, and people's heart changes. Coming to temple and they lose greed. Such a wonderful thing. So these concepts are unknown to the modern man. So it's our duty to spread this good vibration to people. How? By becoming God conscious oneself and by establishing temples. Not just any temple. The temple should be like a university which teaches people about God. Then people can really benefit from that. We are very confident that if we go on with this kind like this in the same way, a time will come when the whole world will really turn into Vaikuntha. It's possible. We can create a pure vibration everywhere. Follow four regulative principles strictly. That is the meaning of becoming a sinless man. I was telling yesterday about sinless person. Who is a sinless man? One who follows the first principles very strictly, and also chant Hare Krishna regularly. And then gradually if you do that, you will come to a stage even when temptations can't do anything in our life. You will become pure and sinless. Currently we are working under the guidance of Prabhupada and his disciples, who all are very exalted. Either we should be sinless or we should be working on behalf of a sinless person. Then only we can bring about good to society. And they know what is good. Just like a mother can see, my son will not benefit with his puri. He is crying. He is continuing to cry. Mother knows very well, he will cry, but I am not going to give him puri. I will give him what is good for him. But the sister is giving him puri. Similarly, great devotees of God know that poor people are suffering. They want job, they want money, they want this, they want that. But we will give them only prasad. Because they have to rectify the sinful mentality. So this has to be understood thoroughly. That is why social service without God is no service at all. It is rather great disservice to society. And we can see people getting social service just to eat, sleep and drink and make merry on the government property. Government has given so many leniences to the poor people. They only make fun, good fun of it. They just exploit it, that's all.
There was an article from Medium Times of India one day that NGOs have become big corporate platforms. They have managers, paid managers like that. They are like corporates.
Yeah. That is bound to happen. See, you do anything without God, you are going to suffer. Like, see this Gandhi, with all respect to Gandhiji, he was a very great person. He used to carry Bhagavad Gita also with him. Only thing is, he was carrying Bhagavad Gita, but I don't know how much he read it. Because carrying Bhagavad Gita will not make you a devotee. Because he once made a statement, Gandhi. Of course, he was a follower of Ram, he appreciated Ram. But he said, because people are criticizing Krishna, he was telling, if someone dances with other man's wives or with unmarried girls like this, then I am ashamed to call myself a follower of such a Hindu god, he said. He told about Krishna. So he had no understanding of the standard of Krishna. What is Krishna? How is the relationship of Krishna and the gopis sublime and pure? And Krishna was not a man. He was just 8-year-old boy when he was dancing with the gopis. And the gopis are also pure-hearted devotees of Krishna. So he didn't understand it. So that goes to show, although he was carrying Bhagavad Gita, he never understood Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is given by Krishna himself. And besides that, Gandhi saw that there were people who were treated as untouchables. So he called all of them and put a rubber stamp on them, calling them as Harijan. See, Hari means Krishna. Jan means people. So he called them as Harijan to say that they are also children of God. They should be treated as God's children. But those people, they have behaved so badly in the past that now nobody will want to call him a Harijan. Any of you here, would you like to be called as Harijan? As soon as you say the word Harijan, it is a derogatory word now. Harijan means something very, who is very nasty and unclean, you know, who is untouchable, you know, who has very bad qualities, you know. Actually, Harijanas are actually Vaishnavas. Those who are completely, thoroughly clean, externally, internally, pure-hearted souls, for preaching God consciousness, they are actually Harijanas. And Krishna uses the word Harijana also in the scriptures. Ye jana paripasate, Harijana he is saying. But Gandhiji spoiled that word, nastified that word. Using it for unqualified people. So, sometimes somebody may pose himself as a big leader in society, but because he is working independent of God, like that pinion wheel, which went independent, they can only cause disturbance to society. See, whatever Gandhi wanted, exactly the opposite happened. He wanted Charka to move all over India, but the Nehru came and made industrialization. And Gandhiji was, see, Hindus should follow Bhagavad Gita, and Muslims should follow Quran. And much before Gandhi's times, when in the morning, early morning in the mosque, the mullahs would sing, Allah, they sing in the morning, So when the Hindu mothers would hear it, then the Hindu children would ask them, like Abhay would ask, Prabhupada would ask his mother, what is that sound? So she would say, oh, they are glorifying God. She would say, Hindu Muslims are such a close relation, a century ago. There were absolutely no problems. But later on, if you try to make an artificial unity between Hindus and Muslims, that will never happen. ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरे नाम सबको संगति ते भगवान हिंदू गॉड एंड मुस्लिम गॉड एवरीथिंग इज सेम यू मेक अ सेक्युलर कंट्री देयर इज नो नीड ऑफ सो इफ यू अलो हिंदूज टू प्रैक्टिस भगवदगीता नाइसली क्रिश्चियंस टू प्रैक्टिस बाइबल नाइसली एंड मुस्लिम प्रैक्टिस कुरान वेरी नाइसली एवरीवन फॉलो दैट रिलीजन व्हाई दे फॉलो रिलीजन आई विल टेल यू सी मुस्लिम्स कैन नॉट कम टू द स्टैंडर्ड ऑफ द सनातन धर्म बिकॉज यू नो सी हिंदू कीप शिकार Muslims keep the opposite. They keep beard here, we keep tuft here. So we share the, you know, they share the mush and keep beard, whereas some Hindu Kshatriyas, they keep mush and they keep beard. They keep the opposite. And whatever is Rahu Kal, we say, Rahu Kal is a bad time for Hindus. That is actually called as a good call for Muslims like that. And Hindu street covers the mother, and Muslim street covers an object which can be eaten. Cow can be killed and eaten like that. They are supposed to cut the animal in the mosque itself. Only in the mosque they can cut animal, nowhere else. Why? In the mosque, if you cut in front of God and offer it as sacrifice, then you will not cut in future. That's the whole idea. So the point is, what I'm trying to make is, Muslims, they were living in deserts before they were given some principles to follow. So now, if Muslims are following those principles and living in a zone, they will live very happily. And Hindus can also follow their principles and live happily. Now, trying to bring about artificial unity. I've heard that even Hindus Muslims would meet also sometimes. Families would meet. You know, during Diwali the Hindus would give sweets to the Muslims. During Ramzan, Muslims would give sweets to the Hindus. That was a very good time. But unfortunately, by the political maneuvering and eliminating God from the picture, the whole society has become chaotic. Even the Ramajan Bhumi issue, if you see, this issue is no issue at all. If you ask the people, I am making a bold statement like RSS or BHP or whatever. How much do they know about Ram or Krishna? How much devotion they have developed for Ram? Are they chanting Hare Krishna 16 hours a day? How many malas are they chanting every day? How much depth of understanding they have about Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma? If you challenge them, they have no words to say. That means they have no understanding of religion. Simply they are putting a religious guard saying that they are protectors of Hinduism on one hand. On the other hand, the Muslims are also fighting for a useless thing. That's for a patch of land, they both are fighting. Now if you ask the Hindus, they will say, hey, don't say like this, you know. They are protecting the Hindu Dharma. They are, if you protect that Ramajan Bhumi, then all other places where there are conflicts, they will also be protected. This is Hindu's argument. Agreed. But why did this kind of fight come in the first place? Because we have failed to give God consciousness to people. If we give God consciousness to people, let people understand God consciousness with their own intelligence and become convinced themselves. I can tell you, a genuine Hindu and a genuine Muslim will embrace one another. Even today, I have so many Muslim friends and Christian friends. I meet them, I appreciate what they are doing. When I see a Muslim dressed in Muslim dress, I feel a great respect for him. Just see, he is following his religion very nicely. Other day I had gone to a shop with our Rajat Prabhu. I heard that in the shop, the man had gone for performing Ramzan. Performing that Namaz afternoon. And I felt a great respect for them. Just see, these people are doing Namaz 5 times a day. Especially on a Friday, they do it. So we also get respect for their principles. And they have respect for our principles. In this way, when we become truly God conscious, in that mature state, we can respect every living being. But now, they are not in that high level, they are all in the low level. Low level, you are like an animal only. Animal is fighting. That's why it's happening. When you pull yourself to the bottom stage. So God consciousness not only is a great service to humanity, it's a great service to even avoid the religious riots. If you give proper God consciousness to people, you can see that. You can work with all kinds of people, the more we become elevated in God conscious understanding. So when God is eliminated from the picture, you cannot bring about any good to people. You just rubber stamp people to be Harijana and they create a chaos in society. Similarly, there was some Subramanya Bharati in the south. So he saw that, you know, there are some untouchables, people have mistreated them. So he went to the slums and told them, come on, all of you come in a queue. I'll give you sacred thread, Janayu. He started putting them Janayu and saying that now you are a Brahman. Go out and declare yourself that you are a Brahman. I'm making you Brahman. You fool. Can you make anybody a Brahman with a Brahman quality? You would ask him. Simply putting a thread, even I can buy a 25 paisa thread from the market and put and say, I am a Brahman. Do you become Brahman like that by wearing a thread? ఫర్ బికమింగ్ అ బ్రాహ్మన్ శమ దమ తప శౌచం శాంతి రాజవం ఏవచ్చు జ్ఞానం విజ్ఞానం ఆస్తిక్యం బ్రహ్మ కర్మ స్వభావజం. బ్రహ్మ కర్మ మీన్స్ శమ కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్, దమ కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ద సెన్సెస్, తప ఆస్టరిటీ. బ్రహ్మణ క్యాన్ రెస్టైన్ ఇస్ హంగర్ అండ్ కెన్ టాలరేట్ కోల్డ్ అండ్ హీట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. శమ దమ తప శౌచం అట్మోస్ట్ క్లీన్లెస్ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ అండ్ ఇంటర్నలీ. ఆర్జవం ఆనెస్టీ సింప్లిసిటీ. అర్జవం ఆస్తికం ఇస్ ఆనెస్టీ అండ్ దెన్ రిలిజియాసిటీ. జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ ప్రాక్టికల్ రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది వరల్డ్. ఈ డజంట్ హావ్ బుక్కిష్ నాలెడ్జ్ లైక్ ఎ బుక్ వర్మ్. హీ నోస్ ద ప్రాక్టికల్ రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్. హీ కెన్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ గైడ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ లైఫ్, హీ కెన్ గైడ్ ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్, గైడ్ ద క్షత్రియస్ వైశిష్ట. దెన్ హీస్ అ బ్రాహ్మణ్. యూ జస్ట్ క్యాచ్ ఆన్ సమ్ పీపుల్ అండ్ సే నౌ ఐ వాంట్ టు ఎలివేట్ యూ, ఐ విల్ పుట్ అ సేక్రెడ్ థ్రెడ్ అండ్ మేక్ యూ బ్రాహ్మణ్. వాట్ అ ఫూలిష్ థింగ్ ఇట్ ఇస్. సీ దిస్ ఇస్ అ ప్రాబ్లమ్. వెన్ దేర్ లీడర్స్ బికమ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, దే క్రియేట్ అ గ్రేట్ డామేజ్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ. So great managers are great damages also. Because they want to work independent of God. So even people in big positions, like your director now, he made one statement, Mahabharata Ramayana. Just see, now whole India is talking about it. He said Mahabharata Ramayana should be taught in the schools. Now I showed this cutting to one school, the principal was so impressed with it. IIT director is saying Mahabharata Ramayana should be taught. Then she told us, you go ahead, now you get his Ramayana in our school. Earlier they were little upright, you know, we should be secular. Now they are saying, now we don't mind, you teach Mahabharata Ramayana. And recently I got an internet article that they are going to teach Ramayana, Mahabharata, as well as Bible stories to all the American Navy, I think. Navy and Air Force, they are going to teach them these stories. So they are feeling that within themselves there is a lot of fight amongst themselves. Internal fights are more than external fights. So they want to teach them the principles, how they should behave, how one should behave like Yudhishthir, how one should not be like Duryodhana. So they are going to teach these things, stories I heard. And they have written in their article that we feel that this is completely non-sectarian and this literature gives very good advice for one in political field, how one should behave. So it is teaching many practical principles to be adopted in our life, like that they have given. So, when a man in position, whatever guidance he gives, the whole world follows. The masses are docile. They always get carried away by the facts and fashions. So they have to be guided by people in the top. So people in the top are not religious. So social service is given priority and God consciousness assumes last priority. What will happen? Then the leaders are bound to commit mistakes because they are acting by their own speculation. But if God consciousness is given top priority, then the leaders will take advice from the saintly people. Then they can bring about good in society. See, this is another thing, isn't it? These things should be remembered.
Come
and check whether it's ready.
So that Quran is meant for different kind of people, Bible for different kind of people. Like one is being very unnatural, for him, one religion is given.
When we see that in India itself, who are born in India, they themselves are even not even qualified to read Quran and Bible also. They are not even qualified to read that, what to speak of reading Bhagavad Gita. So what would you say about this, that are they really capable of, can they directly read Bhagavad Gita?
See, he is saying that you are saying Quran is for one level and Bhagavad Gita for another level, you are saying. But you are saying many Indians, they are not at all interested in religion. They are not even fit to read Quran, he is saying. See, one who is born in India certainly has done a lot of punya in the past. Otherwise you won't get birth in India. Not possible. So you have done good things in the past, due to which now you have got either a beautiful body or a high education, or you are born in a good family. All these things are awarded to you because of your previous life. Now also sometimes boys, you know, they have a very attractive, handsome body, but they are doing all nonsense, isn't it? But that body is awarded to them because of previous life. Now how they are using it, they will decide their future. Now Indians have got the body in India because of past good activities. Now they are fit to read Bhagavad Gita. They qualify. But if they don't read, what can be done? So they will become animals. They can become a dog in the next life.
Sorry, but one who is not merciful,
they were merciful, that's why they are having this body in India. But after having achieved the body in India, in this lifetime they must have become spoiled because of some dussanga, because of which they are, you know, indulging in all bad things. One thing I have seen in India, compared to many other places, Indian people are peace-loving people. One thing is they don't want fights to be aggravated, generally speaking. I am making a very general term. But you know, when once it gets into the zone of politics, then we can't give any comments there. But otherwise, in general, I have seen people are very eager to settle fights very soon. Even in the train and bus and all, when fights come, the Indians feel that Sarvaya Jana Sukhina Bhavantu, let all people be peaceful. But why should people fight? And also people by nature are very pious in India. I have seen in our temple, far away, outside the gate, whoever passes by, they would, you know, do like this and go. They worship God. They know this is temple and God is present here and we are running into office busily. So we have to worship. They have the nature to worship. Very right from the richest man to poorest man, everyone. So the punya is certainly there. It's punya bhumi. One thing is they are misguided. So we have to spread this good knowledge very fastly. Is that it? We can offer bhoga. Offer? Already? Is Baba Prasad? Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Roji, how do you call